I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
This is Your Kick-Ass Life Podcast, episode number 134, with guest Laura Probasco.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life Podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey, Ass Kickers, welcome to another episode of the show. I am, as always, excited that you're here. We have an archived post for you, one of my favorite people, Laura Probasco. I am re-airing this episode because this week I am turning in my final manuscript to my editor, which is going to go into edits. For those of you that don't know, I am writing my second book. It doesn't come out, unfortunately, until January of 2018. This is how traditional publishing works. It takes a long time. But I am just about finished. I have two more days left. And so I am bringing you an archived post. We have all new stuff coming next week. And thanks for hanging in there with me. I wanted to just let you know that I have room for one private client currently in my practice. If you are a woman who listens to this podcast and you jive with my personality and what you hear here, and want to take your life, your relationships, and your everything to the next level, I invite you to go to yourkickasslife.com/coaching to read about the work I do with women. I have different packages available, so please don't hesitate to reach out. Let us know what you want to change in your life so we can see if you and I are a good fit. I also do jumpstart sessions with new or new-ish life coaches who want to know how I built your kick-ass life empire and how they can do it too. So get on it, y'all. If you want to work with me privately, yourkickasslife.com/coaching, and I look forward to hearing from you. Also, I know you love podcasts, obviously, and I know you love personal development, so I'd love to tell you about another podcast that you might like. Do you guys remember Christine Hassler? She's been on this show twice before, and I absolutely adore her. She's a master life coach, spiritual psychologist who coaches people live on the air on her podcast called Over It and On With It. You get to hear and learn from a real coaching session with someone who is probably going through a similar situation that you are or have been. Christine offers practical takeaways and insights in every episode. So first, go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from and search for Over It and On With It by Christine Hassler. And I also want you to grab her free gifts, two of them. She has two things she wants to give you, and I'm going to make it really, really easy for you to grab them. She has a 6-step guide to intuitive decision making. Who doesn't need that? Learn how to get out of limbo and confusion and start trusting yourself. We talk about self-trust all the time over here on the podcast. And she has two ebooks she wants to give you, volumes 1 and 2 of 32 Days to Up-Level Your Mind and Uplift Your Heart. These are easy to digest daily practices or insights that will create positive change in your life. Do you want them for free? So all you have to do is text the word Christine to 444-999. It's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E to 444-999. And without further ado, here is this week's episode with Laura Probasco. Hey, everybody. I'm here with my friend, Laura, and we are going to talk about something very serious. We talk about serious stuff here on the Orchid Gas Live podcast, but I hope that we do it in like a, you know, casual manner where it's like you're having coffee with me and the guest that I have on. And we talk about shit that matters. So nothing less today. I have Laura Probasco. Say hi to all my peeps, Laura.
I'm excited to be here. Hello, yay, everyone.
My ass kickers. That's what I call them. So you can refer to them.
Okay. We will, from now on, it's ass kickers. That's ass all kickers. I know.
Yes.
That's all I know. Okay.
Okay. So you guys, I met Laura at, can I tell the story of like when you first came up to me right outside the bathroom?
Oh, when I stalked you? Sure. Yeah. You go ahead and say that one.
At least it wasn't in the bathroom or like poking your head under the stall.
I did hear that happened.
I haven't had that happen yet. We were at the Brené Brown training for the Daring Way last summer in San Antonio where it was hot. And, you know, it was like during break. And I had just gone to the bathroom and I walk out of the bathroom and this really cute peppy blonde comes up to me and she said, did you do B-school?
Clearly I didn't do my homework.
I was like, no, I am the only female coach on earth who has not done B-school. You guys might not know what B-school is, but we ended up, and this is what personal development people do, especially when you're at a conference / training for this type of work. We immediately started talking about our like pain stories.
Yep. Short circuit, baby. Yep.
Yes. And that's actually the first question that I wanted to ask you and discuss with you is what Brené calls hotwiring a connection. Mm-hmm. And you actually, because if you guys go to Laura's YouTube page, she's got so many great videos on there. And you told a story in one of your videos about you were on a flight, like a long flight, and you were talking to the woman next to you. And I think we've all done this. You know, you're sharing your pain stories and you're just totally connecting. And then afterward, you had what you call a vulnerability hangover. And then so tell us more about that and what happened, because I know like everyone listening can relate to what happened.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have a lot of vulnerability hangovers. I know this all too well. Yeah, you know, just on a flight and just asked a couple questions. And then by the end of the conversation, she knew everything about me. I knew everything about her. And you know, I had that overwhelming feeling of wanting to text or call and just say, well, you know, I didn't mean to say this, or can you not say this, or can you not tell this? You know, I had this uncomfortable feeling of, but you know, when I said this, I really meant, and you know, until I knew Brené's work, you know, I didn't really know how to put words to what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the reason we do that is because we were just so desperate for intimacy,
right?
You know, and we want it so badly that we're willing to short circuit it in a way that just, you know, the other person has no ability to hold it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't have any space to really say, okay, I hear you and validate you. And they kind of just look at you like you're crazy, you know? And then they end up telling stories about this one time when they were on a plane and this girl told them everything. So, you know, that tends to happen a lot.
Yeah. And I think that too, I don't always think, and I'm curious, like, I wonder what Brené would say about this, and maybe you know, but I don't always think that that's a bad thing.
Agreed.
The hot wiring connection. I think that, and it definitely, I'm sure everyone listening has experienced that time when it's backfired, when you've told someone brand new a story, or if you're like on a first date with someone. And I've done it sitting in, I had a brand new hairdresser when I first moved to Utah, and I told her that I had just gotten sober. And like, I seriously had been sober for like 3 minutes. Uh-huh. And she was just like, And like, and they get it all the time, I'm sure. But I just was like, oh my God, what am I doing? So we've all been there. But again, like, I think that sometimes it's okay.
Yeah. And you know, coming from a family of therapists, you know, I thought I had this vulnerability thing in the bag, right? Like, I know how to talk to people. I know
how to get everything out of them. It's like you had like a secret VIP pass for vulnerability.
It is. Like, I should be in the FBI. I am that brilliant. That's what I thought. And, you know, I thought it was really great. And I do think it's a gifting. I mean, I think it's part of being a therapist is, you know, being able to talk and listen. But, you know, there are just the vulnerability hangovers that I wish I could kind of get sober from that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think my point that I want to make with this topic is that it's totally normal to feel that way, you know, to walk away from a conversation. I think even if it's someone that, you know, has earned the right to hear our story and tell it, and even if it was met with empathy and you feel really good, you know, the next morning you might be like, oh my God, maybe I should have said it different. And what are they thinking? So I think that like the point I want to get across to all of you listening is that it's completely normal to have these vulnerability hangovers. And because you just were really intimate with somebody. And it's something that we're not used to. Mm-hmm. It's new and it's a muscle to be flexed. And I think that here's where it can go awry. And I think a lot of my listeners probably can relate to this too, is that a lot of times I believe that we view vulnerability as black or white.
Right.
Either we dump out all of, like, we get completely naked on the first date, or we don't date at all, or we don't tell anybody anything. We have these walls and we just sort of like pretend that we don't have shit. Mm-hmm. Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love that's personal and that they won't already have can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And I think that that is where, exactly, Andrea, I'm glad that you said that point, because it just goes back to just being scared of who we are and scared of our stories, that someone out there is not going to understand, you know, and the judgment comes in and the comparison comes in and I'm not doing it good enough kind of comes in. And so I think that's why most of us struggle with perfectionism.
Right.
Just when we kind of go into that, you know, we're scared of our own stories.
Yep. And so it's like, I don't want anyone to know that I, you know, I have pain, that I have struggle, that I am not perfect. So I'm just not going to tell, I'm not going to connect with anyone. I'm just going to isolate. That's a big common problem with my audience deals with. So instead of reaching out when they're having a hard time, they keep things to themselves and completely disconnect. And so I would love to know, what advice do you, licensed therapist Laura Probasco,
all those letters, baby, they're wonderful.
What advice do you have for women, the common issue and struggle of choosing to isolate instead of reaching out?
Yeah, you know, like I mentioned, I think the bottom line with isolation is that we are scared that somehow our story is going to be too much or not enough. So like you kind of talked about the black and white feeling, we either feel like our stories are bigger or more destructive, or we've done more things that were wrong, or we feel like we haven't achieved anything, right? Mm-hmm. So we really feel like kind of this isolation and of both of those two pieces. And so when we feel overwhelmed, you know, even Brene says, we end up hustling for approval, you know, and that doesn't feel good either. So isolation tends to be our only kind of option, right? To keep ourselves safe and to protect that. So, you know, my biggest thing with isolation is, even taking that a step further, is we start to cut out people that are loved ones in our lives, because we're just so scared they're going to figure our shit out, mm-hmm. that we don't have it together, right? That we're still, you know, if only they knew that we battle with being a mother every day, if only they knew that we doubt our marriage, if only, if only, if only. And so it's really about figuring out a couple of people, or, you know, those marble jar people, as we say, you know, to really sit in the dark with you. But more so than just sitting in the dark, it's about allowing people to pursue you in that isolation. And I don't think there's very many people that we can allow that to happen with.
Right. Yeah. And you mentioned your marble jar friends, and that's actually a metaphor in
metaphor.
The Jarring way. And yep. What that basically means is that one, if you're really lucky, two, but that one person that has earned the right to hear your story, because it is an honor to be able to be that person. Like, if you're that person for someone else, or, you know, you have that person, this particular friend, I think that I completely forgot what I was going to say right now. So. I had a good point. It'll come back to me.
So good. Second. It was so good. But yeah, I mean, there is an earning, or like a badge of honor, to really be able to sit with somebody in their darkness, mm-hmm. and sit with somebody in their pain and really not fix it. It's not about fixing. Mm-hmm. It's not about advice giving. It's really about just holding them, you know, closely.
Holding space, as we like to say.
Yes. Yes.
I remember what I was going to say. Here's what's common, what I hear a lot with women, and it's happened in my own experience, as I'm sure with you too, Laura, is that we get to a certain age and we have been burned by friends. Yeah. So, and when I say burned, it could mean that you share a story with someone and you don't get what you were looking for. And it could have looked like you were saying, like they tried to fix it. They tried to give you advice. They tried to poo-poo it and tell you it wasn't that bad. They could one-up you, which holy shit, like nobody likes that. They could point the blame at someone else when really all you want is to be seen and heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at a really like kind of surface level, like we don't know exactly like what it is that we want. We do know like we want to connect with someone, and that's why we're telling this story. And when we don't get it, what happens is that we don't ever go after it again, because we're like, okay, no one's going to understand. I'm just going to get burned again like I did before. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to keep it to myself. And so, you know, this is one of those things where like Brene teaches us, like you can have courage or you can have comfort. Mm-hmm. Like you can't have both at the same time. And I wrote a blog post about isolation, and what I said at the end, which really resonated with a few people, both outcomes are dreadful. Like either stay in isolation and we are alone and we are disconnected, and it's like, that's like a, you know, Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Like we need that connection from people. Or the other option is to risk telling our story and being vulnerable and being exposed. Both outcomes are extraordinarily uncomfortable. So
that's why they're courageous. Exactly. And that's why it's, you know, saying how are you to somebody, you know, and really actually listening is a courageous act, mm-hmm. as simple as it seems. And so I think the excruciating pain about it is, you know, that's the beauty of life, right? You know, Mama Steri calls it the brutiful, right? Yeah, that it's beautiful and brutal at the same time. And so I think that, you know, if we figure those things out and we continue pushing ourselves on, that's where we find the beauty in it, the beauty in the mess.
Yeah, I always say in humanness, there is such a human mess and we all have it. And I think that a lot of times the people who are acting like they don't have any of it are the ones that need help probably the most in that moment.
Yeah.
The ones that are disconnecting. So if that's you listening.
Yep.
What we encourage you to do, team Laura and Andrea, go team.
Go team.
Well, and you know, and I like people to have solutions from these podcasts as much as possible, is to really think about, because it doesn't always have to be a brand new friendship, because those are, they take time and they're nurtured over time and it's a process. But if you have like that one person in your life who's maybe been a really good friend to you and you just don't talk to her that much anymore, I invite you to reach out to her and ask for what you need. I think it's so interesting how we don't do that, like in our friendships. You know, we're encouraged to do it in our partnerships, in our intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to friendships, you know, it's like, I don't know if I'm living in a bubble, but I don't see it as much. Like, I was never given the advice to do that. And the friendships I had in my 20s were so different from the friendships I have now at nearly 40, where I didn't know how to ask for what I wanted. Mm-hmm. And maybe I kind of did, but like, I didn't, I was so afraid of not getting it. So I'm like, I'll just take what I can get. And it wasn't their fault. The friends that I had in my 20s, I adored them. And oh my God, did we have so much fun? But we just didn't know how to be amazing, quote unquote, marble jar friends to each other. So I encourage you to just have that really probably a little bit awkward conversation of, hey, you know what? Like, I adore you and you are my very best friend. And I want to show up for you best I can. I'm giving you guys a little script here, so take notes. And
write it down.
When I share something really, really hard, I love it when you do this and you fill in the blank and just open that conversation because it'll deepen your friendship.
Yeah, I have a friend, you know, who is my marble jar friend, and we say we do difficult conversations. I mean, that is our phrase. Like, we do hard conversations and they're not always pretty and they're very awkward. And we started off with, okay, this is our difficult time, you know, and it just really allows me to know more about myself and with her. Mm-hmm. Right. So I know when I ask for what I need and I either don't receive it or I do receive it, there's still such a beautiful honoring of myself with the asking.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. I'll post a link in the show notes, you guys, yourkickasslife.com/405. And there's a link to a past podcast I did. I did it with my best friend and where we talked about like how to have an amazing friendship, because I think that like a lot of times we don't know and it's not your fault. You just probably never had it modeled for you or like never taken the class if there is one. I don't know.
Yeah, I must have missed that one too.
I totally did. Yeah. I was lucky enough to have it modeled for me. And you know, you're probably lucky enough to be a therapist and know all of these tools. But for like the rest of us, it's like, you just don't know. So that'll be there for you in the show notes. And switching gears a little bit, you have a YouTube video that I love where you talk about the hardest breakup you ever had was breaking up with yourself. Yeah. So can you tell us about that and about the aha moments that you talked about in that particular video?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites that I've done. I did that probably about 8 months ago, and it was pretty profound for me. You know, I had spent 30 plus years in pain and shame, and, you know, I just wanted to blame others or situations or breakups or friendship breakups or whatever. I wanted to blame something for the pain, right? There always had to be something that had a reason for it. And really, Andrea, I just got to the point where I ran out of people and things to blame, you know? I mean, there just wasn't enough. It was like, my sister's like, you can't blame me another time. Okay. This is your shit. Okay. No more.
I didn't do it.
I did not do it. And it really got to the point where I had to take a really hard look in the mirror and say, I am in charge of my love story with myself. And I continue to have my heart broken, not by anybody else, but by me. And so the biggest breakup I ever went through was with myself and just learning that I could not embrace my story. I could not embrace my imperfections. And I just deemed myself so unworthy of love. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, I searched high and low in all different places and all different things to try to find it. The aha was really that I have to be in charge of my own love story and I'm worthy of it.
Yeah, you know, I have the same story.
Yeah. That's why I stopped you, Andrea. I knew it.
You're like, that was your cue. So, yeah, same exact story, a little bit different circumstances. But I love that you had the wherewithal to kind of realize, like, that you were, that it was a worthiness thing. Yeah. For me, I didn't, I knew something was wrong. Like, I knew, same thing. Like, I was done blaming everybody. And I was like, okay, there's a pattern in all of my suffering, and it's me.
Yeah, I am the center of all of this. Yes.
So for me, it was like going through Codependence Anonymous and going into coach training and doing, you know, a lot of personal development work where I finally was like, oh my God, like worthiness. Like I had never even, I don't even think I had ever even heard that word. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what it looked like. Like for me personally, I thought it was everyone else's job. Mm-hmm. To deem me worthy. I esteemed myself. I got my own worth through the eyes of others. Right. And what that looked like in my adult life, in my childhood, it was great. Because my parents right. loved the shit out of me. You know what? It worked.
Yeah.
And then when I became an adult, I looked to my intimate partnership where it was, you know, just basically one person.
Yeah.
And that, you know, was either on or off. And yeah, just did not work. You know, and I look back at my 20s now and I'm like, oh my God, no wonder I was such a mess. So I love that. I love that you had that aha moment and you had the wherewithal. And I love the topic of worthiness. I think that, you know, you and I were just, Laura and I were talking about this before we started recording. And I think also worthiness is not one of those things. I don't, this might be a misconception of you guys listening, but it's not one of those things where like we just get there and we're like, I'm worthy. This is great over here.
Right. It's a continual process. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on in. The water's great. Like you don't stay there. Like it's, it's like a, it is a little bit of a roller coaster, depending on the person, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what I have found to be true as well is it can look different. Your level of worthiness can look different, like in relationships, in your career, as a parent, as a daughter, like all of these different roles that you have in your life. Because I know, like, for me, like, when stuff gets up-leveled, I think I've mentioned this before on the podcast, like, when stuff gets up-leveled in my business, it's like I take a tumble backwards. And I'm like, oh, my God, I need to look at this all over again. Mm-hmm. So, it, like you said, yeah, it's a continual process.
Continual process. And I think that, you know, we just don't have the luxury as human beings of arriving at worthiness. You know, that's just not something that happens. We don't arrive and then we're worthy and then that's checked off the list as self-growth, right? Mm-hmm. Like that doesn't happen. So we have battle wounds, right? And those wounds and scars are of bravery and courage to continue to get back there mm-hmm. and to continue to ask, okay, where am I at with my feeling of being loved by self, really.
Right.
It's such a buzzword right now, self-love, and it's kind of cheesy, but it's really the whole, you know, it's kind of the paradigm of how we learn how to love others,
happiness.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, it's really like the foundation of happiness.
It truly is. It truly is. And it wasn't, you know, I remember being 7 years old and writing down lists of people that potentially might not like me and what I needed to bring to them to, you know, get their stamp of approval. And, you know, the list might have stopped, but that still thinking continued my whole life. And so when we look outside, like again, that same quote, when we look outside for our worthiness, we're just hustling over mm-hmm. and over for someone to choose us, someone to pick us, someone to say we're okay.
Right. Yeah. And that is an exhausting way to live. I know because I lived it for years and years.
I know.
And probably a lot of you listening are living that. So I think like what I would tell you listening, if that's you, is just to really, my favorite tool there is like to make a list of the criteria that you have made up in your mind that you've probably never thought about before, but it's there. It's floating around. Like, what do you think, like, when you have arrived at worthiness, like, what's going on in your mind? So for a lot of people, it's like, when I lose 20 pounds, I'll be worthy. When I get married, I'll be worthy. Mm-hmm. When I make six figures, when I get a promotion, when I, you know, all of these little things that we make up that really, like, there are no prerequisites for worthiness, and your worthiness is non-negotiable.
Right.
You just are.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I think that that is the story that we make up in our head, right? Is the shoulds and the enough. Mm-hmm. And that we feel like still, even at that, we still feel like we'll have an arrival time. And, you know, aha moments are beautiful and great, but they continue to happen your whole life. Mm-hmm. And it's just a continuum. I mean, it's continuum.
Yeah. And I know, you know, like if you look at all these like super successful women and all of them, I guarantee you, all of them still work on themselves continually.
Continually. Yeah. Can't stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
We won't stop.
We do sing on the Yorkie Cast Live podcast. I don't know if I prepped you for that. There is usually singing.
Well, I guess I just got initiated.
Anytime you feel like it, you can break out into song. Okay, so I want to know, in your own journey of self-growth, and even if you've already mentioned it, just tell us, what has been your best tool that you use? Like, what's your go-to if you have one?
Yeah. You know, I really like this question because it's kind of where we're all moving. And I think it's more and more acceptable now, the idea of spirituality, the idea of whatever your higher power is, whatever that looks like. I think, you know, the two lessons that I learned when I was probably, I don't know, in grade school is that we pray to talk and we're still, or we meditate to listen. Mm-hmm. And the listening is really where I think the juices are, right? The meat of the bone kind of comes in our practices, but the juices are those still moments is where we really can listen to self and we can listen to spirit, whatever that may look like. And so I feel like my go-to has to be the idea of being really still within so that I can hear, right? Uh-huh. We don't spend any time stopping, you know, which is where, again, we've talked about perfectionism. And
I have a really hard time with that. I know you're probably surprised.
I'm very surprised. There's nothing that there'd be any chaos going in that brain of yours at all. Yeah, it's a really hard practice. I mean, I think it's probably the hardest practice in the world. I mean, taking 30 seconds to a minute to be still, we don't do it. Mm-hmm. In the car, we don't do it when we're going to the bathroom. We don't do it in the shower. I mean, we don't do it. And really, truly, it's the best practice, I think, for us to find some mindfulness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in this fast-paced world, and I know, like, you know, my ass-kicking women listening, they are go-getters. And what I have found is, and I'll put a link in the show notes, you guys, like, and if you've listened to my podcast for any length of time, you know that me and meditation, we've had a tumultuous relationship.
I'd like to witness.
I broke up with yoga a long time ago. We broke up, like, last year. Okay. But meditation, I've like, I'm still trying. We keep getting back together. And I love the app Headspace. Uh-huh. Do you know this app?
I have heard of this app recently, but I do not know as much as you're going to tell me.
Okay, here we go. So it's just really great. And maybe I'm a sucker for a man with a British accent, but it helps.
That would definitely
and
be
Australian.
Healthy.
Stop it. Oh my God, I can't. Okay. So it's, I'm forgetting his name, but he created this app and it's like a 10 session journey that you go on, and each lesson is only 10 minutes. So I'm on like the sixth one right now, and I started it like a month ago. But I'm doing it. I'm doing it. And I've actually
You're
done it 2 days in a row now.
That, You're still showing up. Yeah.
I'm showing up. And I really, really like it because he talks about, I mean, it is for beginners. So if you are like, you know, if you're seasoned in meditation, this probably isn't for you. But for the beginners, I love that he allows you to like let your thoughts run away sometimes. He just gives you permission because it's really about a practice. I mean, that's why they call it a meditation practice. That's why they call it a yoga practice. I know. But it's about learning how to do it like as a beginner. And like I used to make up that meditation was like you have your eat, pray, love moment and you go to India.
Yep. Make a big deal.
Uh-huh. Or you go on a 10-day silent meditation.
For sure. And I think that's what we all think. And if I could do that and afford it and take breaks, I mean, it would be wonderful. I think that that's meditation can start just by waking up in the morning and not grabbing your phone.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just that's where we find the real honesty of who we are. And it's allowing, you know, we have to get out of our own way. I mean, that's the biggest thing here, Andrew, is like we are so much in our own way and we want a to-do list. We want a checklist. We want to be able to check it off because that feels so much better.
Right.
The opposite of being able to have no control, you know, or release that control, the big word surrender that control is really scary.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise.
Lynn, this time of year, parenting can be such a flusterclux.
You've come to the right place. I'm Lynn Lyons, and I've been treating anxious families for over 30 years.
I'm Lynn's sister-in-law and co-host Robin Hudson.
Join us for Flusterclux, a podcast for parents who worry.
Wait, that's everybody.
Yeah, these last few years have felt like one long anxiety attack for so many.
Why do you think parents are always surprised that a podcast about anxiety relates to them, even if no one in their house has an anxiety disorder?
Well, worry is human. Everyone does it. And anxiety shows up when we face uncertainty.
All the parenting tips you've taught me have been essential.
I love to break it down into skills we need to manage worry in our families.
We've covered so many topics. Depression, burnout, meltdowns, perfectionism.
Don't forget scary mothers-in-law.
Right, but of course that's not my mother-in-law.
Because that's my mother.
And a listener.
As a psychotherapist, I like to teach parents and kids how to respond to everyday moments in healthy ways.
Managing anxiety really can be taught.
It really can. And I'll even tell you what to say.
We talk about serious stuff, but without being too serious.
Anxiety wants everything serious. Anxiety doesn't stand a chance when we're laughing, even about the tough stuff.
Surrender, I've made it no secret that surrender is my hardest practice, but the most important for me, and yeah, one that I've resisted, and one that is so important. My God. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I do.
So much so, I'm getting that word tattooed on my arm, like, within the next month. And it's really, you know, in terms of meditating and what I do too, I just want to add one thing on, tag on to what you were just saying, is that I sometimes, and, you know, this gets tricky because I know you are, like, homebodies with Jesus. Like, you are a Christian and that's your thing. But a lot of people listening, they're like, I don't know. And, you know, either they grew up with religious dogma and they ran away from it, or they just have never had that kind of, like, spiritual background. But, I mean, I don't care what you believe in. Exactly. I just think it's, like, if it's any kind of energy outside of yourself, like, if you believe, to me, I believe in love. And I believe love is so powerful. And, like, how could there not be something out there?
Right.
And so
right,
that's what I pray to. And I ask for wisdom to get dropped on me, because when it happens, I create magical things.
Right.
I mean, really, that's, like, where the book came from. It's where I met my husband that way. Just all sorts of extraordinary things. So sometimes, like, in a moment, like, when I feel it and I'm like, if I'm having, like, an overwhelming feeling of gratitude, I will stop in the kitchen, like, I'll be by myself or in the car or in the shower, and I just, like, ask for silence and just, like, give me whatever it is that I need to have in order to do great work in this world.
Yeah.
That's, like, my go-to prayer.
That's the whole act, right? That's the act of surrender of, you know, there's something out there, whatever you believe that is, that's greater than, you know, my kitchen sink here right now. Mm-hmm. And the practice of gratitude is really the practice of honoring it and honoring love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure. Okay. So tell me what you would do if you had a client who is, like, super, super, super struggling with surrender. What would you tell her?
You know, I like this question as well, too. You've got good ones.
I know. I try.
You do. You did a great job. You know, I love that you said, I mean, both, I think you and I have a similar personality of, you know, surrender is a difficult thing. It is by far one of the hardest crutches in my life. And, you know, control was my best friend forever. I loved her. She did a lot of great things for me. Yeah. 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 She's definitely was my BFF, you know, and she went into, you know, body image, friendships, relationships, numbing, all of those things. But I think why it's so hard to surrender control is because it also allows us to excel It also allows us to get a lot of shit done. Mm-hmm. It allows us to be very successful. It allows us to be, you know, mom and working and wife and, you know, all of these roles. And so it's a double-edged sword of feeling like control can really make us successful.
It sounds counterintuitive.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's a false sense of success, right? Yeah. Because the moment that that one thing doesn't go well, or that one, you know, dinner that we plan for our husband is burnt, or the fight happens right before it's supposed to be this great thing, you know, we lose it. And our cray-cray comes out, you know, and we then go back to this whole cycle of shame and all of those things. So, you know, when I'm working with clients, there's just really not a 1, 2, 3 of surrender, right? I know, right? The magic. I know the audience is
like, well, forget it then.
Get the podcast out. Get the paper out. One is, yeah, no, I think it really is the opposite. I think it is, we get so tired and weary of the weight of control and the weight of not surrendering that it's the only thing that makes us wave the white flag. You know, people who surrender are the ones in life who've waved the white flag. And I think what I do know about control is maybe I've been successful in those things and maybe it's gotten me through other things. But what I know is that I never had peace and I never had freedom while I was doing it.
Word up.
Word up. I mean, just yeah. Right? Surrender is an idea of freedom. As hard as it is.
So I love that you use that word too, because in my personal development work, I realized one of my most important values, and if you do, you know, Danielle Laporte's work, core desired feeling, as she would call them, is freedom.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is what I found out is that my grip on control was completely taking me in the opposite direction, because I felt like if I could control things, then I could have more freedom because it would all go my way, right?
Right.
Right. Certainly doesn't.
And it certainly doesn't. Yeah. And that, like, if you've experienced the richness of letting go, whether it's just of one little thing, that really allows you to have that buzzword again of self-love. Like, mm-hmm. I can do hard things. Yeah. I can do this.
Well, and I think I want to point something out, because I can kind of hear people listening and thinking this, you know, because again, my people like to think in terms of black or white. So control does not, I mean, surrender does not mean that you let everything go and you are just like, you know, you put everything in everybody else's hands and you just like say, F it, whatever, right. It doesn't matter. Right. Whatever happens, happens. I don't have to go to work today. You know, no, it's about doing what you can and doing your best to be unattached to the outcome. So what that would look like is, say you're about to have a conversation, a hard conversation with your partner, or even like a coworker or boss or something like that. You have, like, you would not be human, you know, if you didn't have like a desired outcome. Like, I want it to go like this. I want them to respond this way. I want them to react this way. I want them to say this. So surrendering would look like, okay, so I am going to show up and I'm going to do my part. I'm going to come into this conversation and be proud of the woman that I am when I showed up. And however they react is really up to them.
Yeah, exactly. Not attached to the outcome. I love that. That's exactly what it is.
Oh, that's hard. That is such freedom. I know I've used this example before on a past podcast. When we were living in Utah, I didn't see us living there forever, and I wanted to move, and I let it go. I did really well for a couple of years. And then I started to get antsy. You know, it's like my son was in kindergarten. He was going to be in first grade. And I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go. Universe, P.S. Like, can you make it happen faster? So I was like kind of finding myself like bugging my husband about, like, you know, have you looked for other jobs lately, blah, blah, blah. And like starting to go into that cycle of wanting to go online for him and like really push him and nag him about it. And what I did, like, I just really had to get into a place of, okay, Andrea, it's going to work out and it'll be okay. And you need to just let it go and surrender that wherever you're going to end up, you're going to end up, and the universe is going to show up for you.
Yeah.
And so I'm not even kidding. Like, not even a month after that happened, he got a phone call and we ended up in North Carolina. So it's really interesting. Like, I think about the woman I used to be in my 20s and it's like, I'm scared of her.
Well, how exhausting was that?
It was so exhausting. People were afraid of me.
Yeah. Well, you'd kind of look like, you know, a bee with something else. You know what I mean? I mean, you're walking around looking like I was a complete bitch.
Well, like, yeah. For instance, like my first wedding to my ex-husband, I made everyone wear pink to my, I mean, talk about like, I was one of those bridezillas, like was out of control.
Oh, I can picture that.
People were like, you need to settle down. Like people were afraid to call me. So, and you know, that's like kind of an extenuating circumstance, but I wanted to control things so badly. And it just like, that was a prison. It was absolutely a prison.
Yeah. Well, because the control, if we go back to what we've been talking about, actually can act like a self-worth, right? Mm-hmm. If I control this and it looks a certain way, then I am worthy of this, or I'm, you know, I am worthy of getting married and having this big wedding. And that means everyone's going to love me if they're wearing pink, right? Because that's what I need, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, if they do what I say, that means they love me.
Yeah, exactly. If they do it, they do what I say, if they act the part. If we stripped out our life, then we're just missing all the beauty in it, you know, and we're not surprised, and we don't.
Not to mention, like, lose friendships and not have connection because people don't want to hang out with you.
Yeah. I mean, when you're like that, you're disconnected. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being here and talking about this super, super important stuff. So as we close up, tell everyone where they can find you.
You know, they can find me at Probasco, which is my last name, is crazy, and associates.com. You can find me at YouTube, Laura Probasco, and you can find me at fearlessfemales.com.
And everyone, if you go to yourkickasslife.com, the show notes are there, and all the links to the things we talked about and how to find more of Laura and get on her YouTube channel. And that's all we have for you today. And I will see you next time. In the meantime, see you out in cyberspace. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.